from KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents, context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
I live in Daly City.
Glenmore in Fremont.
East Bay City.
West Oakland.
Richmond, California.
I live in Oakland, California. How you doing?
Coming up, how the music of a jazz icon has turned into a religious experience.
You know, it flooded our heart with the divine love of God, and it planted seeds that grew into what we now call the St. John Coltrane Church.
Then we make some noise with the San Francisco State Percussion Ensemble.
Okay, how do you play a flower pot? What do you strike it with? How do you strike it? Do you shake it? Does it make any sound?
And an East Bay music teacher has a message for California.
Music is a necessity. It's not a luxury.
Come get your groove on with us on this special hour-long musical edition of Cross Currents. Today is a special musical pledge and membership drive edition of Cross Currents. We are in our spring 7-day membership drive here at KALW. It is day 6. We're asking you to call in and support your local public radio station today. And joining me on the show today to help do that is local musician, 5-time Grammy-nominated percussionist. He's a San Francisco native. He's an educator, composer, writer. His performance and writing and composing and educating has spanned 35 years. John Santos, welcome to Cross Currents.
Thank you, Hannah. It's my pleasure to be here.
Thank you for coming. So John is joining us today throughout the Cross Currents program to help us ask for your support for KALW. We are in day 6 of the 7-day drive. Shorter is better. You said you wanted shorter pledge drives, shorter membership drives. You got it. And today is day 6 of that drive. And the number to call to support this station and to support Cross Currents is 800-525-9917, 800-525-9917, or go online now to make a contribution at kalw.org. John Santos is joining me for the whole show today. So, John, welcome, and tell me why you're here. Why are you here?
Well, thank you, Anna. I'm here because KLW is really one of the last of the Mohicans, and we really want to encourage people, your listeners. In a way, we're preaching to the choir, but it's easy for people to let it slide and forget, and the week goes by. But it's just something that's really valuable to us in the community from every angle, as artists, as parents, as members of this community. You get the real thing here at KLW, and it's in a time when, you know, media, you know, television, radio, and all the things, you really get a false image of what's going on out there. And this is really the news and the information and the music that we need and that we want to hear, basically the truth, and we get the truth here. So in order to defend the truth, that's why I'm here, to help a little bit your mission of defending the truth.
You heard it from SF Jazz resident, what is your title, resident artist?
Well, the resident artistic director.
John Santos is asking you to call now, 800-525-9917, or go to kalw.org. Support local radio. Support the music. At the end of every Cross Currents show, as you know, if you're a listener, which you should be, we always support local music by playing the music of a band and telling you, hey, this band is from such and such place in the Bay Area. They're playing tomorrow. They're playing tonight. They're playing this weekend. Go and see them. Supporting local artists is what we love to do here at KALW. Mm-hmm. That alone should be a reason for you to call right now, 800-525-9917, or go to kalw.org. And today we have an awesome musically themed program, John. And we're going to get to talk a little bit later about kind of your work and your beginnings in music later on in the program. But for now, 800-525-9917. I'm Hannah Baba, and you're listening to Cross Currents. If you're a fan of Cross Currents, you know, I meet people sometimes in the community. They say, Cross Currents, I love Cross Currents. If you're one of those people who listens to this program Monday through Thursday, Give us a call. Support the work. 800-525-9917 is the number you can call. Day six. There's one day left, and that's tomorrow. Let's make this happen today. We have a goal of $2,500 by the end of this hour, and I'm saying we can make it. I'm saying we can totally do this. $2,500. Our community, the fans of this show, the fans of John Santos, the fans of SF Jazz will make this happen today. 800-525-9917 or go to kalw.org. And you need to stick around because today's show is wonderful and we have some very special gifts for you today that you do not want to miss and you do not want to miss hearing about. We have tickets to the new SF Jazz Center. What? Ooh. I know. $75 right now will get you a pair of tickets to the May 30th show at the new SF Jazz Center, the show Miguel Zenon and Rhythm Collective.
Oh, my God. That's going to be incredible.
Right. So 800-525-9917. And now we are going to our roving reporter, Chris Hoff, who went around asking KALW staff what music they're into these days. Let's check in with him and see who he's got.
Hello, friend. What's your name?
Hello. My name is Seth Samuel, and I'm one of the news engineers at KALW.
Hi, Seth. Let me ask you, in the last week, what have you been listening to a lot?
Well, this month, four of my favorite piano players were in town, and I went to all four concerts, and I've been listening to a lot of them, and they are the following piano players.
Tell me just one and the one you like the best, please.
Oh, that's still hard. Okay, I'll just pick two. Brad Mehldau and John Medeski. I saw both of them play the acoustic piano. The acoustic piano is an instrument that I like.
Is there a specific track that goes over in your head again and again and again? And again?
Well, a specific album by Brad Mehldau is Highway Rider, and basically every track on that is gold.
Thanks, Seth Samuel.
It was my pleasure, Chris Hoff.
All right. Thank you, Chris. We'll check back in with you a little bit later. And now on with the show. This is Cross Currents. I'm Hanat Baba. Even if you aren't into religion, there's one thing that'll make you say amen: music. And in San Francisco, nowhere is music more soulfully held than in the Fillmore District. Today, it's home to Yoshi's, the Boom Boom Room, and the Fillmore itself. Historically, there were many, many more hotspots. In fact, the district was once known as the Harlem of the West, jammed with clubs overflowing with song. While the Fillmore has changed over the decades, reverence for one musician in particular has not. He's a tenor saxophonist who's been canonized and praised for nearly half a century. KALW's Christina Loring has the story of the Church of John Coltrane.
It's Sunday morning, and while the Fillmore District is brunching or sleeping in, I'm sweating to attend something I've never run for in my life: church. I'm hoofing it past hair salons, fast food chains, corner markets, and thrift stores to catch the start of Mass. Just up the street from an abandoned pool hall and a windowless police station, I come across what looks like a dormant storefront window. I almost pass it, but I check the address again. I've arrived. I walk into the studio-sized space and am immediately greeted by a dauntingly huge mural of a Black Mary and Jesus. This isn't your typical cathedral with marble and stained glass. There aren't any pews, just rows of chairs facing the front of the room. Before the mural is an altar of instruments. An electric upright bass cozies up to a wooden pulpit. There's a full drum set, a keyboard, a saxophone. Suddenly, a procession of church members emerges from behind a curtain next to the stage. I've made it just in time. This is the African Orthodox Church of John Coltrane. I notice the usual fare, a table with a Bible and sacraments. But on the wall to the left of that is something you won't see in any other church, a floor-to-ceiling painting of John Coltrane holding a scripture in one hand and a saxophone in the other, with a glowing gold halo around his head. This holy Coltrane watches over a cluster of 30 churchgoers. They're a mix of jazz tourists from abroad and local regulars, all clutching tambourines, maracas, and mini hand drums. A ritual jam session begins. The church calls it the Coltrane Liturgy. This means taking the Lord's Prayer and readings from the Gospel and lacing them with their fiery performances of Coltrane's compositions. The small congregation is on its feet, led by a three-woman chorus leaning into their mics with their hands raised to the heavens. The Church of John Coltrane has always put the man's music at the center of its services.
I hear John Coltrane say, you know, when you discover the possibilities of music, you want to help humanity, you want to help free people from their hang-ups and make the world a better place. And so that's the kind of intention that he had behind his music.
That's Wanika King Stevens. Her father, Franzo King, founded the church decades ago after he took his wife, Marina, to see Coltrane play. San Francisco was a hotbed for jazz at the time, packed with smoke-filled clubs and a rotating cast of musical greats. The Kings were at a popular club on the Fillmore, the Jazz Workshop. That night, Franzo King experienced what he calls his sound baptism.
Going to see Train, you had great expectations in the first place. But I think that the most obvious thing that I can remember is the atmosphere around his being. There was something very obviously different about John's walk, his presence. I couldn't liken him to nothing other than a Pentecostal preacher. I like to say it was like being caught up in a rainstorm. We didn't know if it was going to bring flowers or floods, but it brought both. You know, it flooded our heart with the divine love of God, and it planted seeds that grew into what we now call the St. John Coltrane Church.
John Coltrane wasn't always a saint. He was born in 1926 to a North Carolina family of musicians and ministers. He picked up the clarinet and then the tenor sax. After high school, he joined the Navy and made his first recording. He eventually moved to New York, where he played with jazz greats Jimmy Heath, Dizzy Gillespie, and Miles Davis. But as Coltrane hit his musical stride, he also developed a heroin addiction. He was falling asleep at shows. Davis fired him. Coltrane saw this as a wake-up call. The year was 1957. He retreated to his mother's house for a few weeks. Something of a jazz scene cleanse. And he had a realization of a deeper philosophy, as shared in this interview, recorded in Japan in 1966.
I believe that our men are here to grow themselves into the best good that they can be. At least this is what I want to do. And, you know, as I'm going there, becoming this, and when I become, if I ever become, this will just come out of the horn. So whatever that's going to be, that's what it will be. Good can only bring good.
Coltrane changed the way the Kings thought about music. He transformed jazz into spiritual enlightenment. Franzo King was sitting in Marcus Bookstore in the Fillmore in 1967 when he learned of Coltrane's passing. It was another awakening for him, It was time to act. The Kings had a listening club, a place to meditate on music. They studied Coltrane's sound and how it related to scripture.
We saw ourselves as the prayerful vigilantes coming together at midnight to listen to St. John's music and be prayerful.
The congregants began considering themselves a church, and the cornerstone would be Coltrane's album, A Love Supreme. Coltrane wrote the iconic liner notes to that album himself.
And I think that the way he endears the listener by opening up with, "Dear listener," and he gives praise to God, "All praise be to God, to whom all praise is due. Yes, it is true, seek and ye shall find. Only through him can we know the most wonders bestowed." Now, coming from a Christian discipline, when he said, he quotes Jesus there, "Seek and ye shall find," and then he says, "Only through him can we know the most wonders bestowed," it suggested to us that he was pointing us toward Christ.
To the Church of Coltrane, everything about that album is part of a higher power. The titles, the compositions, the consciousness.
I would say Coltrane consciousness is the divine formula.
This is Franz O'King's daughter, Marley I. Her roles in the church range from choir singer to outreach to drummer in the band.
Acknowledgement, resolution, pursuance to reach a love supreme. So acknowledge God, resolve to do all you can, and continually pursue every day. That's Coltrane consciousness. If you follow those steps, that's it. Coltrane gave us the key.
And we're going to hear more about the Church of Coltrane in just a moment. I'm Hannah Baba. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm joined today by SF Jazz resident artistic director John Santos, who is asking you, along with myself, to give what you can today to KALW. He's joining us in the membership drive and asking you to support local public radio, local arts reporting like you're enjoying right now. 800-525-9917 is the number to call, or go to kalw.org. What is this reporting worth to you? That's the basic question. When you hear, like you're listening about the Church of John Coltrane, right in the Fillmore District, you know, whether this is your hometown or whether it's a 5-minute drive or you need to cross a bridge to it, what is this reporting worth to you on the radio? Do you hear it somewhere else? If you don't, and if it's worth anything, give us a call and show us. 800-525-9917. Give us a call right now. We have a goal of $2,500 and we can totally do it. As long as you pick up that phone on day 6 of the 7-day pledge drive. It's 7 days because you asked for shorter membership drives, and we're giving them to you. Today's day 6. We need you to call in right now. 800-525-9917. With me is John Santos, and we're going to be talking in a little bit. But first, let's go back to the story about the Church of John Coltrane in San Francisco's Fillmore District. It's a real family affair there. We left off hearing from choir member Marley I. Hand about growing up in the church. Now we'll pick up with her sister, Juanica King Stevens, who she's served as a pastor for the last few years. And so let's go back to the story.
For me, Coltrane consciousness is about just being about that word, consciousness, to be awake, to be aware, and then not just aware of what's going on with yourself personally, but what's going on around you, and being aware of the fact that there's one universe.
During services, Pastor Juanica will deliver the gospel from behind the pulpit, then pick up an electric bass, joining her dad on sax. When she was a child, the Kings moved services out of their home and into a storefront on Divisadero Street near Oak. It was 1971. The spot was across the street from the site of the Both And Club, where Billie Holiday, Miles Davis, and Coltrane himself performed.
When we got there in the 70s, early 70s, it was pretty much a ghost town. And so it was pretty much us and the hippies.
That's because the Western Addition had been the center of urban renewal in the 60s. Justin Herman, the city's head of redevelopment at the time, had a new plan to clean up the rundown buildings of the area. By the time the Coltrane Church arrived on the scene, 10,000 residents had been displaced. Jazz heritage and black culture were crushed in the rubble of bulldozed buildings.
And I remember when Dr. Huey P. Newton came out of prison.
The vanguard group of the revolution doesn't have strength other than the strength of the people.
And he was on the radio and he was saying that the churches had really failed us.
And that the black community should be a haven for the leaders and a stronghold for protection.
That the churches need to be more relevant and they need to be more concerned about the survival of the people and this, that, and another. And I go, I know what kind of church he's talking about. He's talking about my church, you know.
King leans in toward me. His eyes get wide when he recalls the food programs they held with the Black Panther Party. This was a time when many socio-spiritual groups were growing in the Bay Area. Hare Krishnas, the Moonies, Jim Jones's People's Temple was right next to the Fillmore Auditorium before relocating to Guyana.
And if you're not getting persecution, you're not living godly. So I have my credentials. What about you?
After the Jonestown Massacre in 1978, people were suspicious of a church that worshipped John Coltrane. King says the influence of African-American leaders helped his church survive this intense era. And in 1982, the Church of Coltrane became part of the African Orthodox Church. The Coltrane Church would face more challenges. Its neighborhood gentrified. Residents and business owners promised a shinier space by redevelopment could no longer afford their homes. The church's rent doubled.
It had been a struggle. You know, we had been there. We didn't want to leave the place.
Marley I. Hand remembers the church's departure from the neighborhood in 2000 when she was about to leave for college. For her, though, it wasn't an ending, but a rebirth.
And we had a march. We just paraded all the way down the street singing praises to the Lord from the old site to the new site. And that was wonderful. You know, we had marched and done different things, but just that whole transition of physically moving the spirit and the praise from one place to another, that was a great memory for me.
Today, the church is nestled in the heart of the Lower Fillmore. I've heard people recall when the area was the Harlem of the West, but I've never recognized the connection. Now I understand why the parallels seem so faint to me. When they forced much of the black community out, they also evicted the culture. Sometimes I see evidence if I look closely. I can see tiles in the cement with the names of jazz legends of that time. Sometimes there's a jazz band at the Sunday Farmers Market. Echoes of another era.
So there used to be all this ownership of clubs up there.
Nick Bayham is a professor of ethnic studies at Cal State East Bay.
Those clubs were an important cultural center, but they were also an important economic center because along with them, there's money for other things, eateries, cafes, bookstores, barber shops, you know, all the attendant businesses that draw folk there.
Bayham's writing a book called Apostles of Sound about St. John's Church. He thinks of their presence as a 40-year sit-in.
So if you look at the Coltrane Church in that context, the Coltrane Church is now one of the last remaining, if not the last remaining, community-centered black-owned institutions of music in particular, if you think about them as a musical institution, that remain in the Fillmore.
We want to really bring Coltrane consciousness to the people, to the world. And once we started doing that, I mean, I remember when this was happening in our living room, it was just a couple of us, you know.
Pastor Wanika King Stevens is in a revolutionary role as the first female leader in an African Orthodox church. She shares her father's original mission: baptize African Americans in sound.
Ultimately, it would be great if we could really start to reach out by educating the poor, which includes African-American people, but really reaching out to that demographic with a sense of love, you know, and really letting people know you're special. This is who you are. Be proud of yourself. It's something that's needed. We've fallen, you know. And it's up to us to lift each other up.
Amen. And then John Coltrane is playing his horn and he's singing.
The church's own evolution mirrors the streets outside its tinted windows. San Francisco has invested money in the Fillmore, but the new identity of the old jazz district is still undefined. When I leave the service and walk toward my house a few blocks away, I pass small art galleries and condos. I also pass plenty of vacant storefronts. In this place of transition, the Church of Coltrane remains. In San Francisco, I'm Christina Loring for Cross Currents.
The Church of Coltrane. Thanks for that report, Christina. Coming up, this ain't your grandpa's drum corps.
Okay, how do you play a flower pot? What do you strike it with? How do you strike it? Do you shake it? Does it make any sound?
And that's in a few minutes. You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Hanat Baba, and this is our day six on the membership drive at KALW. With me, joining us today on this musically themed hour-long special is resident artistic director at SF Jazz, Latin Jazz Master, John Santos. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Hanat. It's my pleasure to be here.
So, John, as we listen to that piece about the Church of Coltrane, you know, a history lesson of the Fillmore, you know, the jazz clubs of the 60s and 70s, and what do you get out of a story like that? You were listening really carefully.
Mm-hmm. Well, first I have to congratulate you. It's a beautiful job that you did in putting that together. It really is wonderful to hear that story, you know, said real succinctly like that. They're very important here in the Bay Area and representative of what's happening here in the Bay Area. And it reminds me, first and foremost, that the music and art, the music represents art in general, and the arts just unite us in such a powerful way. The arts are really our tool, our most powerful tool. And we use it for everything. We, you know, the arts we use to educate, to document our history in our own words, to let people know who we are and speak on the issues that are of importance to us. And the art, you know, there's an attack on the arts. There's, you know, unfortunately, you know, we live in an absurd time, you know, in terms of all the, in the name of money, all the absurd things that are going down in the name of war, in the name of money. And when you think about a place like that, a place that celebrates the spirituality of the music and recognizes the connection of how the music and the art is spiritual and how it is part of the struggle and it is the voice of our community in a very large way, it reminds me of how that is not just only unique to the Fillmore, unique to San Francisco, or unique to the Black community. It's something that really unites all of our working class communities. And a place, you know, KALW is a place that celebrates that. We, you know, I'm real old school. I think when I think about stuff like that, and I think about radio and TV, and you know, that's supposed to be free. That's supposed to be funded and given to us and given us that way of communicating and putting our stories out there. And it's been slowly and methodically eliminated. You know, the NEA is under attack, and the state arts agencies are, a lot of them have shut down because of lack of funding, because the truth gets told with the arts. So again, it comes back down to the truth, our truths being told in our own words. So it just really highlights the importance of a place like KALW that puts out such wonderful, vital cultural and news type of information. It also reminds me that times have changed. I've always said, you know, wow, you know, they need $25,000 to stay open for 2 months. That's got nothing to do with me. And it's supposed to be free anyway. And it's easy to kind of take that attitude and go to your grave with it. But I want to appeal to people to change that attitude, because, you know, I mean, I'm old school, like I said, I don't even have cable for that reason. I've never had cable. I refuse. But when it comes to this, this is our last bastion of having this kind of information, this kind of powerful tool of communication that we need in our community. And the way we do it, you know, as a response to the oppression of the arts being under attack,
is by calling 800-525-9917, 800-525-9917. John Santos is telling you, you know, you're listening to this program. You just heard about the Church of Coltrane connecting you to the arts in your area, in your community. That is what we do here on Cross Currents and KALW. If you appreciate that, why don't you get on the phone right now and, you know, give what you can. If it's $25, fine. If it's $100, if you're someone who can afford a little more, $500 or $1,000, like John Santos was saying, you know, it should be free, but we don't live in that kind of a world just yet. Maybe one day we will. Until then, 800-525-9917 or kalw.org and give, you know, think about how much this is worth to you, these kind of stories that we bring you on Cross Currents, the local music that we tell you about, whether on the air or on our website. And, you know, the support of local bands is also, you know, something that we take pride in on Cross Currents. So if you're a musician, if you have a band, if you play in a band, if you, you know, if music is important to you, I think you have a stake in supporting KALW. So why don't you do that? 800-525-9917 or kalw.org. And now let's check back in with our roving reporter, Chris Hoff, who is roaming around the KALW and asking people what music they're into these days.
Hello there. What's your name?
My name's Julie Kane. I produce Audiograph.
Tell me, Julie Kane, what kind of music have you been listening to in the last couple of weeks?
I've been listening to a ton of Medeski, Martin, and Wood, and that is thanks to you, Chris Hoff, and Seth Samuel. The engineers on Cross Currents, they love them, and they gave me a big, giant collection, and I can't get enough. So thrilling. It's like the best music I've heard in a long, 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 long time.
Is there a particular track that you found yourself yelling out to in agony of joy?
There are a few, and one of the most recent ones was the track called Sweet Pea. And I also really, really like this one track that's called I Wanna Ride You.
Wow.
I know it's a little salacious to say on the radio, but it's really great.
Well, excellent. They are a great band. They're one of my favorites, too. So thanks for sharing that with me, Julie Kane.
Sure. You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris Hoff, for that. And you can ride on the train of giving to KALW. 800-525-9917. Give us a call right now. Make your pledge or online at kalw.org as we go back to the show. This is Cross Currents. I'm Hanat Baba. For most of us, it's pretty easy to make the distinction between music and noise. We probably don't even think much about it. This is music. And this is noise. But for some people, those distinctions are blurry. Songs, trains, rustling leaves, they all have a kind of musicality. So what is music and what is noise? At San Francisco State, one teacher is exploring these questions with a medium that could be both, percussion. KALW's Julie Kane visited this class and brings us the story.
Most days, when you walk the halls of the music department at San Francisco State, it sounds pretty much like this. Students are shut in practice rooms, repeating phrases over and over, mastering the intricacies of the music they want to play. But turn a particular corner and you start to hear this. And that's how you know you're in Alan Biggs's class.
Can we hear the spring coil?
Biggs is a percussionist who's been teaching here for the past 5 years.
What I want to do is I want to present a different approach to music making.
We have more buckets?
Yeah.
That approach involves some pretty unusual instruments.
We have like vacuum cleaner tubes that we spin around.
Michael Young is one of his students.
And we have, I feel like, just random things that Alan finds that he wants us to bang on. But they make different cool sounds, and it ends up meshing together really well.
So, Mike, if you're going to play the thunder sheet, just make sure, even when you come in, that it doesn't mean louder, it just means that you play, okay? So we can't, just everything is just sort of coming in.
The students, about 10 of them, are about to play a song Biggs wrote called Shimmer. In addition to the spring coil from a diesel truck, the thunder sheet, a big sheet of flexible metal, and the vacuum cleaner tubes that you spin around above your head, people are playing upturned 5-gallon buckets and a rusted auto harp. They're also using cello bows to play the rims of crystal wine glasses. And instead of silencing their phones, the students are turning them up, using alarms and ringtones to punctuate the song.
Okay, so here we go.
Suddenly, the squeaking of a chair and the rustling of paper and the wind going across a microphone and the fog coming in and the wind going through the cables of the Golden Gate Bridge, it's all there all the time. And it's just wherever we arbitrarily delineate what is noise, what is sound, and what is music.
It does. Nice, yeah. I loved all the different parts of the auto harp. That's really great. And that thing hasn't been tuned in about 30 years. I love how it sounds. It's been sitting in my garage. I love that sound.
Most of what the ensemble plays is composed or arranged by the students. This class is about learning how to play, really play with sound and objects and noise.
There's a kind of emotional bravery that you have to go, wow, I don't know how to do this. Like, okay, maybe someone plays the oboe and they know how to do that and they've done that. There's a certain identity that goes with that. But when I ask someone to play some flower pots, there's a kind of abandon that you have to throw yourself into. Okay, how do you play a flower pot? What do you strike it with? How do you strike it? Do you shake it? Does it make any sound?
What Biggs is teaching might be new to his students, but this kind of sonic exploration isn't a new idea.
Composers such as John Cage and Lou Harrison experimented with these sounds, and it's just sort of what I think of as the next generation of these students exploring these sounds and putting them together and playing them and maybe coming up with different combinations.
Right now, the class is taking a break. Students are chatting and fooling around with instruments. Someone starts using a cello bow on the edge of a big gong. Then, from across the room, another student starts to sing. And then, spontaneously, people stop what they're doing and move toward the gong, singing and making sounds. No one talks. No one planned it. No one wrote it. And then, just like it started, it comes to a natural conclusion.
Well, that was impromptu.
That was very impromptu.
At San Francisco State, this is Julie Kane for Cross Currents.
Okay, well,
okay.
Alan Biggs called us with the idea for doing this story about the percussion ensemble after he heard our audiograph Sound of the Week game. We love getting these ideas from you and love the places that you take us. So comment on this story online at KALW.org. Coming up, we meet an elementary school music teacher that tries to teach me how to play the piano.
You go back to the G that you played. The last note you left off on, right. And you would use your big finger, the third finger.
The middle finger.
That's right, the
You're
middle finger.
You're avoiding that
yeah, word. You know I teach at an elementary school. I cannot say the big finger.
You can't say the middle finger.
I can't say the middle finger.
All right.
So you would use your third finger.
Passion and patience in teaching music coming up. That's in a little bit. I'm Hannah Baba. You're listening to KALW. This is Cross Currents. And with me today is John Santos, resident artistic director at SF Jazz. He is here with me today because this is our hour-long musical membership show. We are asking you to give us a call right now and support Cross Currents, support the music you hear on the show, support the music reporting you hear on the show. And that number is 800-525-9917. Or you can go online to KALW.org. And we have some very special gifts today. SF Jazz has given us, very generously, 6 pairs of tickets to see the May 30th show at SF Jazz of Miguel Zenon's Rhythm Collective. That's for a pledge of $75. So call now and tell the phone volunteer you want those tickets. We only have 6, so $75 will get you a pair of tickets to go to SF Jazz at their brand new center, which is awesome. I have seen it. You definitely want to see it and you want to be there. You can go there to see Miguel Zenon's Rhythm Collective. That's on May 30th. $75 gets you in, you and someone you know. So give us a call, 800-525-9917, to get your tickets before they go. John, tickets, awesome. SF Jazz Center, brand new. You're there. You're part of it. What do you want to tell the people listening to us right now? Don't they need to call in and experience the new SF Jazz Center?
For so many reasons. That room is the greatest room to listen to music. You know, I've experienced that room from the standpoint of being on the stage and as an audience member. And it's an incredible sounding room to play in. And to hear Miguel Zenon there, that's really amazing. He's just such a great young composer and musician, very creative. Whatever he does there, you know it's going to be something unforgettable. So people do need to pick up the phones. 800-525-9917.
Right.
I know people appreciate also, appreciate the fact that you're doing this in 1 week, because those extended drives are also, you know, hard for the listeners to not change this station and all that. So people have to remember to appreciate, show their appreciation by coming up and taking care of it now. And go to KALW.org and take care of business, please.
Thank you to Alok Dutt in San Francisco, Millie Barish in Berkeley, Seth Samuel, San Francisco, David Dilling in San Jose, Molly Samuel in San Francisco. They have all called and made their contributions. Why don't you? 800-525-9917. And now back to the show. This is Cross Currents. I'm Hinat Baba. Musicians come in many incarnations. Some play the clubs, others are in symphonies, and you have your street musicians. You can have a master's degree in music, play 5 instruments, be a sound engineer for 2 public radio shows. Hey, like our engineer Seth Samuel here. Hey, Seth.
Hello, Hinat.
So Seth here is all that and more, and he would agree that learning music and playing it is one thing, but teaching it is a whole nother can of worms, especially when you're teaching kids, and especially when there's like 850 of them. That's what Ivan D'Souza does. He's the music teacher at Delane Easton Elementary School in Union City since its birth 12 years ago. That's the district that won $29 million in the president's race to the top. Every week, D'Souza teaches the over 850 first through fifth graders at the school. And he does it not only with a smile, which he's known for, but with a passion. And full disclosure here, Easton is my children's school. I recently visited his classroom while he was teaching fifth graders a song on the xylophones. First, I asked them to describe their beloved teacher.
He's a really talented. What? He's a really talented music teacher.
He's just so awesome. He has passion for music.
He is very creative with music.
He kind of inspired me to play music.
He's very dedicated to his music. He's good at teaching others how to play different instruments.
He teaches with a smile.
We are going to go over the song, Blues Like Jagger. So let's start. 1, 2, ready, go.
Okay, everybody loves you. Everybody. Every single kid. All the kids love Mr. D'Souza. What is it? What is it about your approach? What do you mean to do, and what do you mean not to do?
Well, I think the thing that helps me the most is I try to see music through the eyes of a child. And I think that I wish more people would do that, because they could see what music really was. Music started out to be something that brought emotions out of people. And children are so good at showing that. I mean, they're at that stage where, adults can learn from them. And I just try to think about what my son would like to do, what my sons would want me to do to help explain it to them. And I think that's why kids enjoy this class, because they can relate to it. And I think once you can relate to music, you really start to understand it and you start to love it.
1, 2, ready, go. All right, someone's still going down. Don't do that. You're thinking smaller. You're going up.
When they told me I was going to do elementary school, I wasn't too excited about that, to be perfectly honest. But now I can't see myself doing anything else. I love working here. I can't see myself doing anything else except this job.
When 2008 came along, 2009, and the budget cuts, arts were the first thing. There were the buses and then the arts. Arts were cut immensely. Teachers were losing their jobs. People were worried about Mr. D'Souza, honestly.
Yeah, last year they decided that they were going to cut the specialist programs, and that meant no music at the elementary level. And I was in shock. I was almost numb. I didn't know what I was going to do. And I really try not to think about that time. The last summer was just so hard. And then, I don't know how it happened, but the district and the union found a way to keep music here. And I'm so happy. I never took this job for granted. I love this job, like every day. But after last year, I appreciate it so much more. And that means I fight a lot harder for things, because I know it's so easy to think music should be the subject that goes. And it doesn't really impact kids from an academic standpoint. But, music is academics. I mean, back in the Greek times, music was considered an essential part of the academic lifestyle. And I try to bring that back. I try to show people that music is a necessity. It's not a luxury. It's not something that you can say, oh, we can do without. You can't. You can't go to a wedding without music. You can't experience joy or sadness the way music can bring that out into you. And I just want kids to see that. And I think they do. I hope they do.
Can we sit down on the piano?
Sure, sure.
And can you give me like a quick basics? I know do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do.
Okay. All right. Let's try a song. The Angry Birds theme song. How about that?
Cool.
Okay. So you're just going to play a scale, really. So it's do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. You're going to play the first three notes and then come back to E. So it's going to sound like this.
Got it. Okay.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Try it.
Oh, my goodness. Can I see that again?
Sure.
Okay.
Good. Good. So after that, you're going to go back to where you left off, which was that G. And you used your big finger to play that G. You're now going to use every finger all the way up to B. And then you're going to go back to E. So it's going to sound like this. So start from the beginning. Start at E. We will play it together. Okay. You can keep going. Good. You go back to the G that you played, the last note you left off on. Right. And you would use your big finger, the third finger.
The middle finger.
That's right, the middle finger.
You're avoiding that word.
Exactly. You know I teach at an elementary school. I cannot say the big finger.
You can't say the middle finger.
I can't say the middle finger.
All right.
So you would use your third finger. So not
this one.
There you go.
Got it.
And then you would use every finger to play the B. Up to the
B. Again.
And then back to the first note, E. So that's the first part. So putting it together, it sounds like this.
How is this not academic? This is the epitome of academic.
You're asking the wrong guy.
Right. Like, I can see your point. Yeah. It is very much so.
Well, and I think, now with this Race to the Top grant and everything, I mean, they want an emphasis on mathematics and science. I mean, music can be that too. Music could be anything. It could be history. It could be culture. It could be math. It could be science. It could be physical activity, dance. I mean, there's so many different ways music can help education.
It's a fight, but you seem to be up for it.
Oh, I am. I mean, now more than ever. After they threatened to take this away from me, yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready for this fight. I mean, I have to be. Because if I'm not, then who will be? So, yeah.
Okay, I'm not going to learn Angry Birds. It's too long.
Well, you got it. You were there.
Oh. Ugh. I don't remember where to start.
Oh, so the first note is always going to be E. It's the two black keys. If you think the two black keys and you think of the white key right at the end of it, that's the note you'll start on. Good. Then the big finger. Good. Right where you left off. Good. Yeah. If you want to do that. And that's when you skip. That's it.
Yeah!
That's it.
They can't see on the radio that you were showing me the keys.
No, shh. That's our secret.
I love the radio.
I know.
That
That's Mr. D'Souza, Ivan D'Souza, the music teacher at Delane Easton Elementary School in Union City. We'd like to get to know your favorite teachers who are passionate about what they do. Tell us about them on our tip line, 415-264-7106. That's 415-264-7106. Or you can comment on this story at KALW.org, and we may go out and interview them for Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. With me is John Santos, resident artistic director at SF Jazz. And we're about to wrap up this hour of asking you to support KALW and Cross Currents. It's been a musical show today. If you love music, if you listen to music, if you just want to go to the SF Jazz show that we're going to give you, if you pledge now at $75, give us a call, 800-525-9917. Only three pairs of tickets left. People are taking them. $75 gets you a pair of tickets to go to the new SF Jazz Center on May 30th to see Miguel Zenon's Rhythm Collective. John Santos is with me here right now to tell you why to go. Why?
Why? Why? Well, the biggest reason why is to please support KALW, one of the most important organizations in our community. And you do it online, kalw.org, or once again, 800-525-9917. Thank you very much for your support.
800-525-9917. $75 gets you a pair of tickets to the new SF Jazz Center. Do it now. Day 6 of the 7-day pledge drive. Shorter is better. And you asked for a shorter pledge drive. That's what we're doing. So give us a call. 800-525-9917. John Santos has been generous enough to come today and spend this whole hour with us asking for your support for this public radio station because, you know, he knows. And you know why you listen, whether it's for the music, the local bands, or the stories. Give us a call, 800-525-9917. And thank you for joining us today, John.
Thank you.
And thank you very much.
Thank you, Hannah.
That's Cross Currents. See you next time.